turn again to the book of Revelation. I'm going to read from chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, "Nonetheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you are fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent." As I have mentioned in previous lessons, this church was a working church. They knew how to work and labor, and they did it for the sake of Christ. They did it without fainting. But yet, they had left their first love. They became mechanical in their activities. They knew the church schedule. They knew the schedule of the worship service. They knew how things would go. They had it programmed. But God is looking for those that will worship Him. Worship Him. Never allow the work or service to replace worship and thanksgiving and loving your Lord. You remember Martha at one time. She decided she'd keep on working while Mary went out to meet Jesus and sat at his feet. When Mary came out and complained to Jesus that Mary had left her doing all the work, Jesus says, "Mary has chosen the better thing." It's better to be worshiping God than working for God. I'm not saying you shouldn't work around the church and in the church, but never let it be a substitute for worship. I've discovered that this takes place only when we lose the vision of the crucified Christ and we forget the things that He has done for us. We forget how desperate we were when we called on Him to save us. We forget the miry clay from which He pulled us from. We forget the rock on which He placed our feet. When we do this, no matter how gifted you may be or how great your enthusiasm is, no matter how much knowledge you have of the Scriptures, no matter how great a teacher you are, no matter what kind of preacher that you may be, no matter how dynamic your personality, no matter what social status that you have gotten to, no matter how popular or famous that you may become, the best you can ever do without the fresh vision of God with your life or with the lives of any others to whom you may minister is to feed them words. Words without power. Words that will put them to sleep when you preach. When you again see the vision of the living Lord. When you see Him in all of His glory. And remember what He has done for you. And you begin to worship Him afresh. You'll find a whole new ministry will open up for you. Some have imagined that the cure for their spiritual disability and fruitlessness is a change of geographical location, a call to a new pastorate or new occupation. But if you're living without the vision of Christ fresh in your heart, you'll be as useless in one part of the world as you are in another. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19 gives us a beautiful picture. I'll read it to you. "And the men of that city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray you, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is naught, and the ground is barren." What a sad picture. Here is a beautiful city. The stranger, the traveler, would be glad to spend a night there, or even possibly the weekend. They would congratulate the people on the good fortune that was theirs to live in such a beautiful town. Yet beneath all of this charm and exterior, there was heartbreak, a sickening load within the hearts of those who lived there. They displayed a sweet smile every time somebody admired their city. It hurt them. They knew the secret. They knew the water was naught. The ground was barren. When it says that the water was naught, it doesn't mean that there was no water. And when it says that the ground was barren, it does not mean to say that nothing grew. Otherwise, the city would not have looked so charming. The word barren means cause to miscarry. If you had been there in the spring, when the buds on the trees and the bushes would come forth with blossoms, you might have congratulated the people on all that they had to look forward to. But that was the tragedy of it. The fruit just about to ripen, ready to be plucked, suddenly fell to the ground. Premature, immature, to rot and never reproduce. This was the heartbreak of that city, so deceptive, so impressive to everybody else, except those who live there. It's the picture of a carnal Christian that has lost his vision and love for Jesus. You may ask, who am I talking to? I am talking to some Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about some pastor in his pulpit, some missionary on the field, and many ordinary, earnest Christians. People that you would love if you met them. They are not hypocrites. They are tired. Many of them desperately tired. They are overwhelmed inwardly with a sense of defeat, frustration, futility. The fruit that has appeared to others has fallen so cruelly to the ground. Story after story could be told of men and women who doggedly, out of a sense of duty, love, devotion, go on and on and on. They are tired almost beyond endurance. When we get like this, when we feel burnout coming on, when we feel tired, may God help us to realize that we're not just tired, but in fact have left our first love. Jesus gave the answer for that problem. Remember from where you have fallen and repent. I'm going to close the lesson right here, but I'll take right back up on it tomorrow. Join me.